Bare. Hat deşi şöyle madde. Deşi ervada. Dene ki tarba. Le da nyumo onge çuma tele le nyumo toçe. Ha? Dinji deva toyagi. Gorşe cihazı. Dinji deva toyadi tarbayı kohandiri. Di toyala. Ne madde? Labasumi sürüngi labadan. Şeregin yamba. Dinji zingi laban yamlen çeğore. Sidi şey cihazı. Den zangazı. Azı kohabla dükabla
So this morning we spoke about the that we all have a wish for happiness, and the happiness that we truly long for is a happiness that is stable, that is lasting and uninterrupted. So this is the happiness that is liberation from cyclic existence, the cessation of the cessation of having abandoned the afflictive minds together with their seeds. And then this morning we looked at the method for achieving that, which is through the three higher trainings. And this being if this being something that will take a lot of energy and time to accomplish, it's something that we should embark on and do so continuously over a sustained period.
Mm.
So as we heard this morning, wanting to become liberated from cyclic existence, to attain the lasting happiness of liberation or of nirvana, one would be striving for a state such as that of an arahat or a foe destroyer. Because such a being has abandoned cyclic existence, was free from cyclic existence. And the primary practices that are required for that is with the development of the wisdom realizing selflessness based on the minds of concentration and special insight. The primary practice is then wisdom, is the mind of the wisdom realizing selflessness, conjoined with a mind of concentration and special insight. And then whilst these are the primary minds, they need to be supported by other minds, those of joyous perseverance, ethical conduct, of course, patience and generosity. So those are the practices that need to be developed within one to attain liberation from cyclic existence. But if one has the wish to go beyond that, one wants to attain not just the state of an arahat or a foe destroyer, but to actually arise as a Buddha, then one needs to travel on a different path, although there are a lot of similarities between the two. Because here on the path of the Bodhisattva, the primary minds will be, again, to attain liberation from cyclic existence, the wisdom realizing emptiness, and concentration and special insight, so just like before. And this then would also be supported by ethical conduct, primarily, as well as generosity, patience, and joyous perseverance. But the standout difference, the primary difference between the second path and the first, is the cultivation of the mind of bodhicitta. Without this mind of bodhicitta, Buddhahood is not possible. And so this mind of bodhicitta is the outstanding or the particular difference on the bodhisattva path as opposed to that of the path of a hero or solitary realizer. So to develop bodhicitta, as we know, we need to cultivate minds such as love and compassion, and then taking responsibility for the welfare of all beings, one generates bodhicitta with the commitment of striving for enlightenment for the sake of others. Thereafter, in meditation, one then, seeing that in order to fulfill this commitment once made, the afflictive minds need to be abandoned, and the six perfections need to be practiced. And therefore, minds such as concentration and special insight need to be developed. So here we can see how these two paths have a lot in common, but what the outstanding difference between the two is the mind of bodhicitta, which is on the bodhisattva path. As we heard this morning, when a practitioner attains the state of an arahat or a full destroyer, they attain nirvana. And the nirvana they attain is within the body of these contaminated physical aggregates. So that is called the nirvana with remainder. And then when they die, then they lose their contaminated aggregates, and they then attain nirvana without remainder. So the state of nirvana doesn't change, but what changes is they no longer have this body that is contaminated. So therefore, after death, or with death, they attain nirvana without remainder. And that is the state that is marked by these adjectives, ageless, deathless, and inexhaustible. For bodhisattva, though, the system is a little different. So bodhisattva develops bodhicitta, has a realization of emptiness, and then enters into the path of preparation, develops a path of accumulation, develops their realizations further, attains a path of preparation, and progresses through the path of preparation. And so thus far, through the paths of accumulation and preparation, they are practicing in this ordinary form aggregate, this contaminated body. When they then attain the path of seeing, when they realize emptiness directly, then at this point, they immediately, naturally, spontaneously attain a wisdom body. A contaminated body is lost, and they immediately attain a wisdom body. There's no death process, there is no need to die and take a new rebirth. With the attainment of the Partha Singh, with the direct realization of emptiness, then the Bodhisattva attains a wisdom body. So this then is a body that it doesn't age and would be deathless, and it's already at this point that the Bodhisattva experiences stable happiness, lasting happiness, uninterrupted happiness. So there's this difference between the attainment of this a deathless state for a Bodhisattva and an Arahat.
That is in the Sheva and the Chiba, Tony Labishila Sunday. That there are Yumdu Karas and the Jaju Sunday. Chesa, Kuni, Jamnija, and Jaju Sim, and it called Sonami Toksigure. That Tony to be Tony Labishila Sunday, Tony to be Shira Tige, Tuni is in Altadoni, Ishi Tola, Dini, and Yumdu Gabriela Ishi Tol, Yamnaja, Gabriela, and it Jaju Sim that Nizeta.
Yeah, Janda Pamba, Jamon Boyova, did it. Tangan to be Tamangi, Jamon Boyova, did it. And then Tony let me be Shila Sundry, Shila Sundry, Kunimo Mabasa, did it. There are Yumdu, Karasan, Janju Sim, did it. Janada, so Tiruva, that the men be that Janda Pamba, Jamon Boyova, did it. Tangan to be many Jajumi, Tamangi, Jajumi, Jibo, Tuela, so Judy, and then Tony let me be Shila Sundry, Shila Sundry, Kunimo Mabasa, did it. There are Yumdu, and then Jimba, the Sura, Sura, Sundry, Jimba, the Shay, Pasin to Yaman Jewa, Jiwa Shadi.
For bodhisattvas, the main practices that they engage in will be the cultivation of minds of love and compassion, as well as the minds of the six perfections, and doing so conjoined with the minds of single-pointed concentration and special insight. So these are the main practices of a bodhisattva. And moreover, so these are the main practices, then the goal that they are striving for is the state of Buddhahood, full and complete enlightenment, omniscience. So that is their goal, and to achieve it, their main practices are the minds of love and compassion, the six perfections, and these are conjoined with concentration and special insight. So through this, then, they're striving for the state of Buddhahood, which is, when attained, has incomparable qualities of body, incomparable qualities of speech, and incomparable qualities of mind. And through these, so much benefit can be brought to sentient beings in each and every moment. Inconceivable enlightened activities can be engaged in every moment. So this is the ultimate goal of bodhisattvas. Bodhisattvas who are motivated solely by the wish to bring lasting benefit to others, to bring meaning to others. And to be able to do this as effectively as possible, they have the goal of Buddhahood as their objective. And then to bring this about, to achieve this goal of theirs, then they the main cause is on one hand, so there will be two main causes. On the one hand will be the union of calm abiding and special insight, realizing emptiness. And then on the other hand will be bodhicitta and the variety of practices relating with bodhicitta. So these are the two main causes for the attainment of enlightenment. Through the wisdom realizing emptiness conjoined with concentration and special insight, that leads to the accumulation of wisdom. Then the development of the mind of bodhicitta, love and compassion, as well as engaging in the other perfections such as generosity, ethical conduct, and patience. Then the accumulation of method is completed. So we have these two groups of practices, the one relating to emptiness, the other to bodhicitta, and they lead to the two accumulations, that of wisdom and that of method. So the union of special insight and concentration, realizing emptiness, this is what is required to abandon the afflictions together with their seeds completely. And the practices of bodhicitta and the other four perfections, that's required for this accumulation of merit. So that's the path of the bodhisattva. It shares a lot in common with the Theravadan practitioner who's going for the goal of individual liberation or the state of an arhat, a foe destroyer. So they also have as their main practice the union of the minds of calm abiding and special insight, realizing emptiness. And then they will support this by practices such as generosity and ethical conduct and patience, but they do not have the mind of bodhicitta and the complementary practices of love and compassion. So that is the primary difference, that they're at and at the goal. Otherwise, there's a lot of similarity between the two paths. We're still on verse 105, and now we'll come to the fourth line. Earth, water, fire, air, sun, and moon.
Nida Daltup to Sidu Na Mandugi Mandugi Tishi Sundua Daddy Sachu Melung Sidu Mandugi Tabishing and Tashing said ye ne Sachu Melung she then you drip to him Tabishing the Mandugi Na中华西中华西中的苏州话话中文在中华西中的感觉这样大家能够考虑来的你们往给中华的那社区没东西但我内的中华西大你也尽管的因为来的你们往给聚集的地方的听不记得记得来了电的机会的就像大家你大型集中的来嗯现在在米当中集中的来嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯嗯 yani taşing gidige şing dige da su dige da saçu meloji dani yine ya deso molamdan geve geve ta to sey to bliçun de cedir o geva molamdan geve to bliçun acire ko le nyumo ko ngi ama yin ba che molamdan geyu ara chumare cisa dini zam ne de ma su ge ne de ya nyumo ba pang bi wang ge nyumo ba pang che ane jeo ne se ne de ya da be xing de xing de ya ne Lay down,
So this fourth line, earth, water, fire, air, sun and moon. So let's look first at earth, water, fire, air. So these refer to the four elements. And so they're presented here. So we, in this verse, we've been looking at nirvana. So when a being attains the state of an arahat, that is the state that is liberated from cyclic existence, we've heard that they have nirvana with remainder, and then when they die, they attain nirvana without remainder. So where are they then reborn with this nirvana without remainder? So that would be in a pure land. So this pure land then is created from the four elements, earth, water, fire and air, as is our world. Our world is also created from the elements. But there is a tremendous difference, though, between our world and that of a pure land. Our world has come about due to our common karma, the karma that we as beings share. So our world, our environment, comes from this common karma. Whereas this karma was created by afflicted minds. Whereas the pure land, this has not come about due to karma and afflicted minds, rather it's come about due to prayer and virtue. So why this is being looked at here is because it's referring to the pure land that a fur destroyer will be born into. And whilst it's created from the four elements, the cause of those four elements is very different from the cause of our world, which though is also created from the elements.
What this means here can be explained in a few ways. So one way is that in some traditions, the sun is seen as an object of refuge, as is the moon. They're seen as gods. And in these systems, they may present Mount Meru and all other kinds of things. However, such philosophy won't lead to a state of liberation, taking refuge in gods such as the sun and the moon. This will not lead to liberation from suffering.
Rather, the only method to attain liberation from suffering completely is to have sincere, heartfelt refuge in the three jewels, develop a mind such as concentration and special insight, and develop the wisdom realizing selflessness. Other than that, there is no other method to attain liberation from suffering. Another way that this line can be explained, earth, water, fire, air, sun and moon, is that all of us, we remain trapped in cyclic existence due to the contaminated karma that we have accumulated due to our afflicted minds. And this is what propels repeated uncontrolled rebirth in cyclic existence. And being in cyclic existence, we rely on the elements such as earth, water, fire and air, as well as that of heat, and that would refer here to the sun and the moon. So we rely on, or we depend upon these elements. Then when one attains liberation, whether becomes an arahat or becomes an Arya Bodhisattva, then the elements of our body, so the elements comprise the all form, the external and the internal form. And so here, the external world and the body, sorry. So then these elements, when we attain the state of an Arya Bodhisattva or a foe destroyer, then these change. And one no longer needs to rely on elements such as earth, water, fire, air, as well as heat. And moreover, the elements that cause us so much trouble and difficulty at the moment will no longer be able to harm us. So this will all come about in dependence on attaining the state of liberation. And liberation itself is attained through the union of calm abiding and special insight, realizing emptiness.
All the problems and the difficulties that we experience, these all come about in dependence on our mistaken way of thinking.
And similarly, how does one eliminate all of our problems and difficulties? This comes from changing our way of thinking. So our problems come from our way of thinking, and then lasting happiness will come from changing our mistaken ways of thinking. And how is this done? So as we've been hearing, the starting point is to live an ethical life, to develop the practice of ethical conduct. In brief, to develop this mind of restraint, to make a sincere and heartfelt commitment to not harm any other being through our physical acts, through our verbal acts. And the way this is done is through restraining our mind, developing this mind of restraint, and thereby not even having any negative or harmful thoughts at all. And then moreover, to develop a state of stable happiness. This comes about through abandoning the cause of our suffering, all these afflicted minds, these destructive emotions. And how is this done? And as we've been hearing, this comes about on the basis of ethical conduct, developing concentration and special insight, and using that those minds as you realize emptiness directly.
Tarbada temje chembasada ane jige tholamna jolam se ade deni gi gopa thobale ma simli ya jangdor je gore jangdor je ne jangdor jige jige je ko jang jangba chaya de and de le tu gore de zadi jangdor je gore ye se gore wada
to bring this about, it's not sufficient to a mere aspiration. One requires knowledge, and mere knowledge is again insufficient. One needs to train. And one needs to train and develop that knowledge, or integrate that knowledge. So this is very similar to what we do in the world, and what everyone does in the world. If someone wants to develop a new skill, whether it's to become an expert in a particular field, or just to develop a new skill, then they have to train to develop the skill. So for example, if someone is a singer, they need to start off by learning the words, learning the tunes, and then practice, train, not just have the knowledge of the words and the tunes, but practice to make sure they do it well. And similarly, as we heard this morning with dancers or with sports people, they all need to have knowledge and then practice, train repeatedly. And in this way, they become proficient. And this is exactly the same in terms of spiritual development and mental development. In order to attain a mental path, then one has to develop knowledge and then integrate that knowledge within oneself through training, through meditating. And then once one gives rise to a path within oneself, then this needs to be developed further and further. And the process is the same. Through further training, then further development will follow.
And
In our world, there are many very skilled and influential and famous people who bring great change and benefit to our world. So whether it's in the field of science or medicine or really any field, if someone is recognized as an expert or as a scholar in their field, they weren't born with this knowledge and skill. Rather, they trained in this. They first developed knowledge or acquired knowledge, and then they practiced, they studied, they developed it further. And more, so not only were they not born this way, but they needed to acquire this knowledge and this skill. And this didn't come about just through some passing interest, but rather through repeatedly over a sustained period studying and reflecting on their field of expertise, coming to understand it thoroughly, and thereby will be able to be of great benefit, great influence in their field of skill. So this is something we see in the world, and it's certainly the case for spiritual progression or spiritual development. Here, the process is the same. One needs to acquire knowledge, and while continuing to acquire knowledge, that knowledge needs to be integrated within oneself. One needs to train and develop one's way of thinking. And so how should one train? So this is verse 106. So again, I've changed the translation just so that it matches our terminology that we usually use a little bit better. So I'll read it twice. Mindfulness, discernment, joyous perseverance, joy, pliancy, concentration, equanimity. These seven branches of enlightenment gather virtue and attain the state of nirvana. So again, in the seven, mindfulness, discernment, joyous perseverance, joy, pliancy, concentration, equanimity. These seven branches of enlightenment gather virtue and attain the state of nirvana. These seven branches of enlightenment, where are they found? They are found in the continuum of Arya Bodhisattvas. So these minds of mindfulness, discernment, joyous perseverance, joy, pliancy, concentration, and equanimity. These seven branches of enlightenment are found in the continuum of Arya Bodhisattvas. So those Bodhisattvas who have attained the paths of seeing or meditation. So the first one, mindfulness, this is something that's not only to be found in the continuum of Arya Bodhisattvas. We all have mindfulness. However, So, for example, this is something we use throughout our day. We, when we're at work, we remember how to do certain functions and activities. And this is the mental factor of mindfulness. So this is a mind that we have. But it's the level of development is somewhat limited. Through training and especially when one achieves a path and cultivates paths further, then this mind of mindfulness develops in strength. And when one becomes an Arya Bodhisattva, then the mindfulness, that mind of mindfulness, is of sufficient strength that it can be called a branch of enlightenment.
Looking further along this list of the seven branches of enlightenment, there'll be others here that we do have within ourselves. So the second is discernment or wisdom. This we certainly have, as we also have choice, perseverance, joy, and concentration. So these four others we also have, like mindfulness, we have in our continuum right now. However, they can be likened to a seed that has been planted and from which the tiniest of sprout has just emerged. It's still nowhere near the surface of the soil, but a sprout has emerged from the seed. But if that seed is further nurtured, that sprout will grow further and further into a fully fledged plant. So the way that sprouts would be nurtured, it would be through heat and moisture, etc. So that would be likened to us taking these minds that we already have, developing them through further through training. And through developing them through training, they will become more and more powerful, developing in strength towards eventually becoming that of of the same strength of an Arya Bodhisattva. So the way that this is done, developing these minds, is exactly the same that experts in any field within the world go about attaining their level of proficiency. They gather knowledge and they train and develop that knowledge within themselves, coming to understand it thoroughly from all angles, and then they can use this knowledge and experience in very innovative ways. So similarly with ourselves, with these minds of mindfulness, discernment or wisdom, joy, perseverance, joy and concentration, we have these tiny sprouts of these minds within us. Through developing them, through training, they too will grow in strength.
Jamba, Chira, Namje, Sherab, Tundu, Gawa, Shindu Jamba, and the thing is in Tanyum said, Dudu, Mandu, Janju Semba, Tolamba, Gula, Yudi, Kabla, and that Wombo, Siminta, Janju Semba, Tolamba. Consugula, Yubi, Kabla, Mingaz, Wombo, Wombo, Wombo. Dine, and Dia, Gomje, Yagi, Chinje, Dangan, Gula, Yudi, Kabla, Mingai, or Mari, Jida Jamba, Sherazmato.
Okay. Yeah, Tsunju Jampa, I think it's in setup. Okay, Tsunju. And then the Dun Tsama, Yamena?
Dun Tsama, Lapa,
So, amongst these seven, there are some that we've come across some time ago in a verse. So, these minds of choice, perseverance, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom, when they are developed, within the bodhisattva, or within a practitioner, and that practitioner becomes a bodhisattva, so attains the path of accumulation, then these minds are called the five powers. And as the bodhisattva continues to grow and develop the strength for her bodhicitta and her wisdom realizing emptiness, and she eventually attains the path of preparation, then these same five minds will be called the five forces. So the minds are the same, but due to the growing strength, they are given different names. The first on the path of accumulation, the five powers, and the path of preparation, the five forces. Then as she grows and develops her realization of bodhicitta and emptiness, and eventually comes to realize emptiness directly, and attain the path of seeing and become an Arya Bodhisattva, at that point, these minds are then called branches of enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. Jambasia, Same Jamba Yane, Yando, Majamba, and Jeruwa, Denigi, Yane, Yando, Jenji, Machiba, Nar, Denji, Nelu, and Tesum Gumsum Jene, how could you sing your body? Machiba, Jambi, Zimba Dilla, Jamba Dilla, Daddy, the Jamba Dire, Madame, Mazugula, Kalashimudu, Yama Hazan, the Jamba Mare, Daddy Digo, Jasa, Jasu Yana, Dunji, Jamba said again, Jamba di, Udigers, Denji Nelu, Yana Tombani. Dame, or the Niki, don't tell some gumsum chine, Dana Bibia, how go to you, how go at it, Timmy, everybody, and a gasore, Majeva, Jambi, Tindu, Jamba de la Sigorda.
Let's look again at this mind of mindfulness. So remember, mindfulness is the word for in Tibetan for mindfulness is the same word as for memory. So if we recall a delicious meal we ate before, that is being maybe that memory of that meal is something that we already have, and that is a mind of mindfulness. But that is, of course, not what is being referred to here.
Rather, the mindfulness that is being referred to here comes about in when we have the, in the presentation on developing the realization of the Four Noble Truths. This comes together with the presentation on the need to study, reflect, and meditate. So through studying, first studying, and then reflecting whilst one is studying, and then later being able to meditate on what one has studied and reflected on, one comes to realizations of the Four Noble Truths. So recalling what one has studied and what one has reflected on and is meditating on, that recalling, that is this mind of mindfulness. And as the practitioner continues to develop themselves spiritually, they continue to develop this mind of mindfulness. So their recollection of what they've been studying, reflecting, and meditating on within the context of the Four Noble Truths, that recollection is mindfulness, and that does not deteriorate. Rather, it just grows and strengthens. So mindfulness in this context refers to recollection of what one has been studying, reflecting, and meditating on in the context of the Four Noble Truths.
This mind of mindfulness is something that is of great importance. No matter what one is training in, mindfulness is essential. So again, just from my side, whenever we hear mindfulness, recall, maybe keep in mind recollection, because it's really, maybe recollection is better than mindfulness. But anyway, so mindfulness. Whatever topic one is training in, mindfulness is of utmost importance, because without mindfulness, one forgets what one is training in. So therefore, because of the importance of mindfulness, there are many methods, many techniques for developing it within oneself. And if one has weak mindfulness, then, for example, it will be impossible to develop concentration, to develop calm abiding.
Mindfulness then in the context of the Bodhisattva developing a branch of enlightenment refers to emptiness in the context of the Four Noble Truths, as does then the second mind, that of discernment, or we can call it wisdom. So wisdom here, then we have, as we've said already today, wisdom, there are many kinds. We use wisdom to decide whether I should rather eat this nutritious meal or something else. So we use wisdom throughout our day. But that is, of course, not what the Bodhisattva is developing. Rather, this is the wisdom that is investigating emptiness within the context of the Four Noble Truths. And then we come to the third of joyous perseverance. Again, many different types of joyous perseverance, this mind that takes delight in engaging in virtue. Here, though it refers specifically to minds such as the wisdom investigating emptiness in the context of the Four Noble Truths. And fourthly, we come to joy. Joy then refers here specifically to taking joy in the cultivation of the understanding of the Four Noble Truths. And then, so that's joy. And then fifthly is the mind of pliancy. The two types of pliancy, physical and mental pliancy. So this is the further development of the mind of pliancy. And so when one has attained physical and mental pliancy, then one no longer has physical problems when trying to meditate, or mental problems when mental obstacles when trying to meditate. So this is the further development of the minds of pliancy. And then concentration again relates to the concentration on the topics of the Four Noble Truths. Equanimity here, the seventh, then it remains in the context of meditating on selflessness. So equanimity, maybe we can call it balance here. So if we think of either making great effort or being a little bit lazy. So here equanimity refers to the state in between, where one's evenly applying oneself, one's not overexerting oneself, and one's not lying back, relaxing too much. So that, and this then is in the context of meditating on selflessness. So this term equanimity comes up in different contexts. Often it's in the context of feeling. So in terms of our various minds, the Buddha Dhamma presents three types of feeling. So just to say, this is very different from how we use feeling in English. So there's a feeling of happiness, which is happiness, the feeling of suffering, which is suffering, and then the feeling of equanimity, that which is evenly balanced between the two. So this is not what is being referred to here. Here, this refers to when meditating on emptiness, then one is not perhaps overexerting oneself or under applying oneself, but it's rather pacing oneself just right, evenly balanced.
These seven branches of enlightenment can be related to what we heard this morning in terms of the three trainings. So whilst the seven branches of enlightenment are thus called only when they are in the continuum of an Arya Bodhisattva, they too relate to the training in the development, and the training in the three higher trainings, in the three trainings that we heard this morning, that of ethics, concentration, and wisdom. So whatever one is training in, one requires mindfulness or recollection. One needs to recall the training that one is engaging in, the various steps and the various antidotes, etc. So mindfulness is required whether one is training in ethics, concentration, or wisdom. Then secondly, discernment or wisdom, that is of course required, repeatedly using analytical meditation. And then the minds of choice, perseverance, and joy. This too is required because we need to be taking delight in what we are doing, so as one to power the strength of our practice, and two, to want to put in the required effort to achieve the results that are required, that we desire. And then with these in place, then one will achieve concentration, and when concentration is actually achieved, that is when pliancy is attained, physical and mental pliancy. Moreover, when concentration is attained, then a mind of equanimity is also attained. So this mind of equanimity, again, is a mind that is evenly balanced. It's not overexerting or under-applying itself. So in this way, these seven minds of the seven branches of enlightenment, they also relate to the cultivation of the three trainings.
Tangan tu le cakap, ini, dari si, dah ngan tu ke, jangan tu sembah malah, ini, dini ke, jampa da dini ki nyamlin cheban jampa ane sherab dingi zin ane gawa hindu jampa dingi zin tang yim nyamlin cheba ina deshi laba sumi nyamlin cheba ina dini ki nyamlin chebe gawa di ane tarwa tobe gawa zo da di gala janju simgi simbi kone nyamlin cheba ina sanju goma tobe gyushe chida da dini zan dini ki gawa di da nga zuki janju simgi simbi kone nyamlin cheba ina di sanju goma tobe gyushe chari gore e zere da janju simgi ma simba ina Taba doing is some good lunch and Yamlin Cheva Yina and Taba to be a judgment to be Kuchak in his order. Giva gave it so last.
And training or and practicing with these seven branches of enlightenment developed within one's continuum, of course, leads to the cultivation of great quantities of virtue. And being the seven branches of enlightenment, they will be in the continuum of an Arya Bodhisattva, and thereby will propel them towards this virtue, or propel them towards the attainment of their final goal, that of enlightenment. If they, these minds, these seven minds, are in the continuum of a being who is not an Arya Bodhisattva, perhaps someone who is striving for liberation from cyclic existence, then these same minds will also lead to the accumulation of vast stores of virtue, which will propel them towards the attainment of their goal, liberation from cyclic existence.
Ane yang ni sherab me gang la dini yubi siba yi jasu jasu na zi dangu tsarwar ki isa.
And that brings us then to the next verse, verse 107. So again, slightly different translation. Without wisdom, there is no concentration. And again, without concentration, there is no wisdom. But for one who has these two, the ocean of existence is made to be like the water in a cow's hoof print. So I'll read it again. Without wisdom, there is no concentration. And again, without concentration, there is no wisdom. But for one who has these two, the ocean of existence is made to be like the water in a cow's hoof print.
Yebala, Gine took Guayomar, Gine took Guayomar, that penny, Manduke Dame about to be Chebache, and then she knew Chebache, that Dame about Roshikta, and Manduke Mitawaro was dope, shut up to Yubina, tell me be Gine, took Guayomare. Takaraso, shut up, Mapper, been a something yanchig, Mansu eating it in Gine, Yubina, now Dame to be shut up Yuguayomar, rather, to be. Dāmiya pa mātōpa nē shīnē tūtukēn māngbū rūngurwa dīnē rē. Tā dē kārāsī kūrāsī nē, shērā mē pā samtā yu mī tē lā tū, tā yu kārāsī tōngbā dāmiya pā mī pē cēchitū mī pē samtā yu pā chē, nē samtā tīngi tē yu pā chē, tīngi tē dī ngā lā yā, nē kē chēpā chē pē lāk tōng tē mē pā yinā, tā shērā pā tē tā tē lāk tōng rūgu kō rē, chī tā yu tē lā tōngbā nī lā mī pē lāk tōng mē pā yinā,
Don't
So the key to understanding this is to have a broad understanding of what is meant firstly by wisdom and secondly by concentration. So it says here the first line, without wisdom there is no concentration. So we already have both of these minds within our continuum. We have wisdom and we have concentration. So we have wisdom in that we think about impermanence, we may think about the Four Noble Truths, and we have concentration, but it's of course not single-pointed. But what is being referred to here is that without utilizing our wisdom, one cannot develop single-pointed concentration. So one needs to utilize wisdom in order to be able to develop single-pointed concentration. And then secondly, And the second line, then, where it says, refers to concentration here. So whilst the word is concentration, the meaning then is special insight. So in order to attain wisdom, one needs to have special insight. But special insight can only be attained on the basis of first achieving concentration. Because as we heard this morning, concentration can hold a single point of concentration or calm abiding, holds an object undistractedly, single-pointedly. But as soon as it starts to analyze the object, in other words, the mind starts to move, the object then is lost in terms of being single-pointed. But when this is developed and grows stronger, it will become a mind of single-pointed, of special insight, conjoined with calm abiding. So the special insight is the mind that analyzes the object, in this case emptiness, whilst the object is held by concentration. So that is the meaning of these first two lines. Without wisdom, there is no concentration. And again, without concentration, there is no wisdom. Furthermore, on these first two lines, without wisdom there is no concentration, and again without concentration there is no wisdom. So, furthermore, if one just attains concentration, one will be unable to attain one's goal of either liberation or special insight. If one has a realization of emptiness, but it is not conjoined with concentration and special insight, that realization of emptiness is not powerful enough to lead to liberation or enlightenment. So therefore, one requires the union of the wisdom realization, the union of special insights and the union of concentration and special insight, realizing emptiness. If one has that, then this mind is powerful enough to lead to liberation, if that is the practitioner's goal, or if the bodhisattva is striving for Buddhahood, that is powerful enough to lead them to Buddhahood. So therefore, what is required is not either concentration or wisdom, but it's rather the union of concentration and special insight, realizing emptiness. And if one has that, but for one who has the two, the ocean of existence is made to be like the water in a cow's hoof print. So if one has this union of concentration or calm abiding and special insight, realizing the object emptiness, then one is able to cross this ocean of suffering that is samsara to the state of liberation or the state of enlightenment.
Now, 코와드가 랑세디지레 天天当个什么叫他们这个都三九国宝托把修三百个天天啊都学会你啊学会这个天天给造个工作的天天三大姐天天什么叫他们三九国宝托把修三百个天天一年将就什么个面的列举搞不了啊都给你拿天天给些干嘛还是给这些地图的天天三九国宝托把修三百将就什么扩张三大姐啊都给这些地图的这个什么单位呢说说个地区来报备给是吧三单位呢
Delia 其他那高瓦的里国的其他的都是那个就给感觉学会我的了学会的了的那些上街的那些上街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街的街
so Ganga Raji, Katachivina, Ganga Dilling, Ganga Masambachi, Zene, Sevachi, Sugi, some Dana, Sevinia, Chagora, Jisna, on those cinema to give some Daji, Nidin, Nilia, Jike, Lerakare, Chena, to do cinema to some Dana, they will go on to get a Bohorana, that you can do some Dana, and Nimiko Lerakare, Chen, Pembe, Jawa, the Nishuna. Kalana Chechen, Chicheta, and Mishandagi, Yapuchigan, Kiwi Jawa, Tupuchigan, that is some daddy, that is the Mulinalia, Tanganjan Ashin, Chu, Yamle Jetugan, Tadaman, some David, Gom Yamle Jetugan, Kateore, and Chu, the Shin and Anjanashin, Dushin, Shin, Yashi Jetugan, Mangorua, and Dinita, and Chasan, like you all to Kantilia, there must be Yapure, some Jacahokum, and a Kawachakuru, Chisu Iran Kawakum, and the Indian India.
Let's then summarize what we've looked at over these three sessions and do so in the way that we normally do in terms of how to integrate this into our meditation practice. So we started last night by looking at the situation that is experienced by gods, and this combined with what we've heard in preceding weeks should lead us to see that even in the happiest of existences within samsara, that happiness itself has no essence. It's not lasting, it's not stable, it's not dependable. And so having looked now at the situation across the six realms, we should see with some clarity that there is nothing left to yearn for, nothing left to desire, nothing of value to yearn for within cyclic existence. Wherever one is, whatever situation one has, this is pervaded, or this is in the nature of suffering. When one comes to see this clearly, then the wish to be liberated from cyclic existence arises, the wish to arise, to definitely arise from suffering arises within us. So this was what we were looking at last night, and then this should be taken a little bit further, as you've heard in previous classes, to apply, when that mind arises within us, we should apply this understanding to others. Because others, just like us, don't want to experience any problems or difficulties at all, but only want to experience happiness. But whatever happiness they have at the moment, it deceives them, it confuses them, in that they see the happiness that they experience as something worthwhile, something having an essence, something worth striving for. This then keeps him bound, stuck within cyclic existence. Here, generate compassion for the suffering state that they're in, generate love, wanting them only to experience happiness, and generate this to the point where we take responsibility for others being freed from suffering, others attaining lasting happiness. And then take this mind of special intention and developing it to the point where we say, in order to be able to benefit others, I need to become the most skilled of guides. I might need to develop my qualities to their furthest limit and completely eliminate all faults on my continuum and arise as a Buddha, the most skilled of guides. So in this way, one generates bodhicitta, and when this mind of bodhicitta arises within oneself, then hold that mind single-pointedly. Or to put it another way, rest in that mind, abide in that mind. And in this way, when one does this repeatedly, one's developing calm abiding on the analytical object of concentration. And then one's mind will quickly become distracted, and then utilize mindfulness to recall the benefits of bodhicitta. And this then will give rise to the wish to generate bodhicitta, and that will give rise to joy in our mind and the wish to persevere. So here we're using mindfulness, we're using joyous perseverance. And then bodhicitta again becomes manifest in our mind. We hold this with a concentrated mind and developing our concentration on the mind of bodhicitta. Then when we become distracted, we repeat this process. Through mindfulness, we recall the benefits of bodhicitta. We develop joy and the wish to persevere. And then we hold this mind of bodhicitta again single-pointedly. And thereafter, we continue the meditation in the ways we've heard before, committing not to harm others, but only to benefit them, and thereby to practice ethics and generosity. And whatever problems we encounter, whether internal or external, to forbear with those problems, to be patient and not to allow those problems to overcome us. So here we practice patience. So in this way, we can engage in the meditation on bodhicitta and the six perfections on the basis of seeing the faults of cyclic existence. And then when we come to dedicate the virtue that we have accumulated, we can also reflect on all the other Dharma practitioners in the world, such as our classmates here and others that we know and those that we don't know, and generate great joy in what they're doing, as well as all the virtue that is being created by others in the world who are engaging in helpful activities. Generating joy in what they're doing, we then dedicate all this virtue to full and complete enlightenment. So this is how we can incorporate this weekend's class into our daily practice. And if we do this repeatedly over a sustained period, then change will come to our way of thinking, our way of relating to others, and our way of dealing with life's difficulties.
但每年给他都他妈别杀松，算不给甚至歇息里个了吧？那年月期的，我说的，点那起来什么等于呢？民主啊什么，再不好嘛，说的，被你吸收级别高了，当然每年接下来算不给什么几单，别杀松了是不是？我请不着，但你搞五年我得把扎实的算不上了当。因为你，你越界的给他站住的，身边什么？那可能要不的给别打死打死的，别杀死的，身边你们你可以多报的来接的。今天介绍什么？甚至啥包都切记有理由了吧？今天我的俩是年月期的，我是那个云南面呐，当然我甚至去呢，今天上当呢，马德先给的社会上嘛。
That's something I thought about him.
我在这个学院那几个人去
了。So if you have questions, please feel free to ask. But before you ask, I want to answer Alan's question from last night. So last night's question was that in the commentary from His Holiness, it makes reference to gods having five signs that come long before death and five signs that come approaching to death, so nearer to death, so further away and nearer to death. So I'm not sure what these two different lists of five are. So what I think they are is those which are further away from death are the five that we heard last night, the five that one generally hears. And then what I think are the five that would come closer to death would be something comprising of the other experiences of suffering that a god has. So the five further to death would be those that we heard about, their seat becoming uncomfortable, their body starting to deteriorate, their garlands deteriorating, etc. So that would be the five further from death. And those closer to death, I think, would be a way of dividing the other, maybe two sufferings that gods have, into five. So, first of all, that all their loved ones, their companions that they've had during this very long life, their good friends and loved ones, want nothing more to do with them. So that's one. And the second is through their clairvoyance, they see the suffering of the realm that they are going to be born in. They see this environment which is, compared to what they have, which is filthy and disgusting, as well as the experiences that beings there have, and therefore will lie before them. So I think these two suffering experiences can maybe be divided up into five, and that would make the second list of five. But that's my assumption. So further questions? And thank you very much. And thank you very much.